Ethiopians who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in these snapshots of what is happening in human history, these snapshots of times where we can see so clearly that you are at work and that you are drawing people to yourself, offering the salvation that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would impress that upon our hearts. Help us to see. Help us to believe. Help us to know who you are. God, every single one of us here, every time we hear the word of God, we have a choice. You give us the choice to repent and believe, or to continue to reject your word, reject a relationship with you. I pray that every person here would have a genuine relationship with you. I pray that every person here will be saved by the grace of God. Lord, help us to see what it means to know you and to be led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So that's the title of today's message, is being led by the Spirit. Essentially, how do we as Christians who have the Holy Spirit within us, how do we live our lives in such a way that we're not led by anything else or anyone else other than Christ himself through the Holy Spirit? You know, when we make decisions in life, we have all sorts of systems, I believe. Every single one of us, we develop a system that we go through in our minds and in our hearts about how we make our final decisions. How we take that next step when there's two options before us. Now, some of us may be more emotional. And so when we make decisions in life, we make them depending on how maybe we're even feeling just in that moment. It can be out of sadness or anger or maybe even happiness or a passion that you feel to do something. And so you make the decision to go for it and do it. So maybe some of us here, we have a system of making decisions, and emotions play a huge part in that. Maybe for others, we are more practical or consider ourselves more pragmatic. So when we make decisions in life, we gather all the evidence and we decide what is practically best for me, for my family, what I should do to move forward. And then we say, which one will yield the best outcome? I've calculated it, and now I'm going to move forward and make a decision. So there's emotional, there's practical. Now, neither way is better than the other, and there's probably far more that we can say about the systems of how we go through and kind of maybe pros and cons lists or whatever we may do to make a decision and move forward. And what I presented may be too simple of a breakdown, but today in the passage that we've just read in God's Word, there is one way that is best for us, one system, if you will, that is best for us as believers of Jesus Christ that we ought to be using and ought to be taking part in as we make the decisions in our lives, both the small decisions, but also the big, important decisions in our lives. And how is that? It is being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, God has wired us all differently, and by no means am I saying that you can't have emotion, you can't have practical thinking as part of the decision-making process, but what I am saying is that what we decide to do, how we move forward with our lives, the decisions that we make, it can't just be based on what is in our own interest, in our own agenda, my emotion or feeling, or what I think is best and practical. It has to be set upon something greater than ourselves, with more authority even than ourselves. You see, as Christians, we're saying we are not the boss of our own lives. We're saying, God, you are the boss, and I am living for you. And so God shows us the best way to live, and it's a life that is being led by the Spirit. So we're going to talk about that together today. How can we do that as surrendered to God people? He's given us a new life in Christ, a new purpose in Him. So how can we live in a way that is led by the Spirit? How can we live in a way that's not like the world? The world says, make your decisions on how you want to make them. It's your life. You take control. You take the reins. You decide how you're going to live your life, what you're going to make your decisions based on. And God says, actually, I have something for you already. And I want you to know who I am. And I want you to make your decisions in life based on what I have given to you. And ultimately, it's through His Word. It's through the relationship that we have with Christ Jesus. So again, this is not just for small, well, you know, are not just for big decisions, but small decisions, big decisions. Every decision that we make may be led by the Spirit. There's three things that I'm going to cover together today. We have to obey God's voice. That's the first thing, obey God's voice. Secondly, study God's voice in the Scriptures. Study God's voice in the Scriptures. And lastly, to rejoice in salvation. As we're doing these three things, we can be led by the Spirit in the way that we live our lives. So let's look at that first point, obey God's voice. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So we've seen God working through Philip already, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many people coming to faith in Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit is moving through the message of Jesus Christ being preached, as well as the miracles that were being done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we just talked about Simon the magician, right, who saw this power and saw that it was great, wanted that power for himself as well. But the important thing that we continue to stress is that God does not just want acknowledgement of His power. He doesn't need us to say that He's powerful for Him to be the most powerful, the one deserving of our worship and glory. He doesn't need us to do that. But He wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's a profound thing. And as we see Philip in the life that he's leading, as he's going and he's evangelizing, he's sharing the word of God, the message of Jesus Christ, we see that indeed he is being led by the Spirit. So we see first, as an angel of the Lord tells Philip in an audible voice to go to the south, to go south. And when he hears this voice of the angel of the Lord, what does he do? Immediately, right, he rose and went. It's quite simple, obedience to God's voice. There's no, why God, give me an assignment. What are you going to do when I get there? Can you give me the full plan? I need to know everything ahead of time so that I can go. No, it says he rose and went. what we're going to see unfold, right? Like, in his simple obedience, he's going to have the opportunity to take part in the plan of God and to see something amazing and to have his faith grow, but also to see someone else, eternity, be changed because of his simple obedience. You see, that's what happens when you obey God's voice. He gives you opportunity to bless others through your obedience and your faithfulness to God. He gives us opportunities to share our faith. And so Philip makes his way to where the angel of the Lord had told him to go. And so he meets this Ethiopian eunuch who is a court official. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. Now you might be thinking, well, Ethiopians, they're not Israelites. They're not Jews. So why is he worshiping? Well, he was a God-fearer, likely. One who's a Gentile, but worshiped the one true God. Believed that he was the one true God, the God of Israel. And so he's there. He's a God-fearer, but he had not yet received and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ that connects everything together to show that all of the scriptures point to Jesus Christ. So God in his plan, this is what happens. Verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? So see, the simple obedience, he hears God's voice. The Spirit leads him and then he moves. Now, I remember when I was on a mission trip in Osaka, Japan, back in 2005, and you'll see a picture of our team there. This is way back, and I've shared about this trip before, but one of the ministries that we were involved with was to invite young Japanese college students to the church that we were partnering, and it's got kind of a cool name, right? They call it J-House, which stands for Jesus House, right? But it sounds a little bit more hip, I guess, when you're asking college students, hey, you want to come to J-House, right? So J-House, and we were connected with this church, and our team had prepared gospel skits, praise songs, food for an event that we had been praying about called America Night, because college students in Japan, they have an interest in cultural differences, cultural things. And so if we invite them to America Night, surely they'll come. And when they come, we get to share our relationship with them, our friendship with them. But ultimately, we also get to share the gospel of Jesus together with them. So we'd invite people. And, you know, people are very polite in Japan. So they'll take the flyer and they'll say, thank you. And maybe they'll go off to the next trash bin and drop it off, right, as they go on their way and go on their day. But there were a lot of people who seemed like they were excited to come. Good response, some people ignoring us, whatever. But we were on those campuses, and we were asking all the college students across, like, I think, 3 or 4 different campuses to come and join us for America Night. And so we were praying, and we were excited. So the date of America Night comes, and we're praying, and we're ready, right? It's getting closer and closer to the time where students are supposed to be arriving. We have all this food ready and all these events and things planned. And so the time is ticking. You know, okay, well, you know, in America, you know, if you say something starts at 7, sometimes it ends up starting at 7:10, 7:15. So we're like, okay, well, I think things are still okay, right? There's probably going to be some students on the way here. And so we wait and wait. I'm telling you right now, 0 people came out to our American Night. Like, not even one who, like, saw pity on this American group of, like, students inviting everyone to come to this event called American Night. Not one Japanese student came to our American Night, to the point where the pastor who was leading our trip, even him, he was kind of, like, laughing almost, like, oh, my gosh. He was just like, not even one. And why do I share this? Well, you see, we prayed and we felt the call, our mission team, to go to Japan. We obeyed God's voice in our own lives and within the mission team as a church to go and share the word of God. And so we had this American Night plan and no one came. But we continued on. We were a bit discouraged, not going to lie. But we were there for a total of 2 weeks. And so the next day, we went out again to the campuses, this time inviting students to something called Funky Party. I know these names are Funky Party. Oh, yeah, you want to come to Funky Party, right? And it's really basically a time that's like a fellowship gathering where there's different games and events, and ultimately someone shares a testimony of their relationship with Jesus and shares a Bible passage. And so we gave them all out. Come to Funky Party. We obeyed God's voice. We were still there for a reason, for God's purposes. And this time was much better. Several college students came out, and we were able to build relationships that would grow throughout the 2 weeks that we were there. That would grow throughout that time. And we saw people in Japan that is 99% non-Christian. People coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, amen. People who had no idea who Jesus Christ was, no idea about the salvation work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, here through a funky party, God enabled us to know, to relate, to build relationships with them. Now, I share those two distinct memories because of this. Our team could have let emotions and disappointment from that America night fail to direct our next moves. Look, we tried so hard to get people to come out to America. Not even one person. What are we doing here in Japan? Why are we here? We could have been practical and thought, well, if nobody came to our America night, how are we going to get them to come to this funky party? But we asked God in prayer that night. I remember praying and crying out to God. And we listened for his voice. And when we listened for his voice, it was a reminder, I've brought you here for a reason. I want the people in Japan to know who I am. I want them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we saw young Japanese men and women come to know Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, and believe in him, our faith was strengthened. You see, the opportunity was there because we had obeyed God's voice to go to Japan, to go out and continue to invite people to these events and the different things that God had called us to do in ministry. So I want to ask you this. Have you been obeying God's voice? He wants you to be a part of his kingdom work. There's opportunities for you to have to share the word of God with those around you. There are people specifically in your life, not anyone else, but your life that God has put you into their place so that you can share about the faith. So they can share about the salvation that comes through knowing Jesus. Will you obey him? One of the greatest joys that we have as a Christian is to share our faith with those who do not know the Lord. Will you obey God's voice and be a part of his work? And sharing with your friends, your family members, even strangers who don't know him. Obey God's voice. Ask for opportunities and then again obey. Second thing is this, to being led by the Spirit, we need to study God's voice in the Scriptures. This is what it says in verse 30 to 35. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the Scripture that he was reading was this, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began, and beginning with this Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So the point is this, study God's voice in the Scriptures. Now this is important. When is the last time that you heard the audible voice of God speak to you? Maybe some of us have experienced that in our lives. But more often than not, God speaks to us, maybe not in an audible voice, but he has given to us his word. So what I'm saying to you right now is that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, though it may simply be a paperweight on your desk or on your bookshelf at this point in your home, It is the word of God that he has given to you to speak into your life. So when you study scripture, you're actually studying God's voice. When you study the Bible, you're actually studying his word for you. He is speaking to you through these words. So we see this Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading scripture on this chariot, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And so when Philip asks him if he understands what he's reading, the Ethiopian eunuch, he humbly asks for guidance. So what's quoted here is from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 to 8. What do these verses describe? Who is it talking about? That's what the eunuch wants to know. And obviously, it's describing the suffering servant. It's describing who Jesus Christ is. And so though this eunuch is a God-fearer and believes that the God of Israel is the one true God, now what does that mean for him in his heart, in his faith, in terms of his salvation? Well, now you got to know who Jesus Christ is. You see, this passage that you're reading out loud, that you're sharing, in a sense, by reading aloud as you're on this chariot, is actually proclaiming who Jesus Christ is. And so Philip, he is going to connect it for him. You see, the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, he, the Word become flesh, he had humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. He was slaughtered like a lamb, the perfect sacrifice for the atonement of sin. And through his death, forgiveness became available to those who would believe, though he had done nothing wrong. Justice was denied him because he was innocent, and yet he was killed. And so Philip starts with this scripture, the scripture that must have been on the heart of this eunuch, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to take a little tangent here, and as we go three chapters forward in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 4 through 5, there's actually an interesting thing that there's a passage that refers actually specifically to eunuchs. And I wonder sometimes if maybe this Ethiopian eunuch had read through Isaiah again and again. Because look at this, 56, 4 through 5. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Now, one of the things with eunuchs, they can't have children. And so this passage, I wonder if as this eunuch was reading through this book in the prophet Isaiah, the words, that these words also were on his heart. What does it mean that someone can give me a monument and a name better than sons and daughters? An everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What does that mean for me? And so here is this man who is in search of everlasting hope, eternal life. And he didn't quite know what this Isaiah 53 was talking about. Perhaps even with Isaiah 56 in his mind, there's something about these words that are gripping him. And God sends Philip, who is obeying his voice, to go and share what these verses are about. See, how can I know unless someone guides me? Now, you don't have to know everything about the Bible in order to share Jesus Christ and the gospel, okay? I'm not saying that. But there's something about coming alongside someone who needs to understand that all of Scripture points to Jesus. And so God does not speak to us always in an audible voice. Sometimes he may, but it will never go against the Scripture that he has given to us. You guys hear that? If you believe that you have heard the audible voice of God, but it is not in line with what Scripture gives to us from Genesis to Revelation, you better start listening again, because that ain't God. God will never go against his own word, against the Scripture, the authority that he has given to us, the word of God, the good, perfect, preserved word of God by his grace. He will never go against it because it's his own word. And God will not go against his own word. So when you are reading Scripture, you are listening to God's voice. When you are reading the Bible and studying the chapters and the verses and the context, you are studying God's voice. Amen? Don't take it lightly. Don't take it as these are just things that I learn at church. These are the Christian things. No, this is God's voice for you, for me. It's the authority that our faith rests upon because God reveals himself in these pages. And so if you hear good preaching, there should always be the gospel of Jesus Christ within the words of the preacher. Why do I say this? Because you don't have to force the gospel of Jesus into any passage. Everything from Genesis to Revelation, it points to one person, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but Jesus Christ. See, if you hear a sermon, all you hear is don't do this, do this, don't do that, don't do this, and all you feel is burden, and all you feel is, oh, okay, more things I need to figure out how to do, then that's probably not the gospel. Because the gospel wants us to focus in on Jesus. You see, his voice, as you study it, what you feel is grace and love, and that challenges you, that changes you to want to do more for him in obedience. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. So be ready. Please study the Word of God. I'm here as a guide of sorts, as I preach the Word of God. But we too, on our own, what an awesome privilege that we can read the Word of God at any time. Nowadays, you don't even need a physical Bible because you can hop online and see all the different translations that we have. Read and study the Bible, not just for the sake of studying it, but because you truly believe this is God's voice speaking to you. And that you can learn to live life led by the Spirit, you see. Because he knew the Word of God, because he knows God, he has a relationship with Philip, is able to guide this eunuch and connect for him the things that he was searching for, an everlasting name. How? Because now you can bear the name of Jesus Christ. You may not have sons and daughters, but through your life, many more people in the next generation can come to become a child of God by grace through faith in him. So know the Bible. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to share about Jesus, but please take time. Take time to study God's voice in the Word. We stand on the spiritual authority of the Bible because it is his voice. It's God's voice for all believers. Last point is this: rejoice in salvation. Rejoice in salvation. It says 36 through 40, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on in his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, before we go on with this point, I'm going to mention something briefly. If you're paying close attention and you were reading along with the slide, there is no verse 37. Okay? There is no verse 37 in the ESV as well as a couple of translations. Now, the New King James Version or the King James Version, they have kept it in there. And it also remains in some versions like the NASB within brackets or with a footnote. Now, the reason that this verse, it's not that it has been removed from the Bible, but actually that the English translation had been kind of mass-produced with it contained in it, but it was discovered that as they studied more and they saw more reliable manuscripts and older manuscripts, that it was likely an addition to what Luke had written in Acts. So it was likely not Luke's authorship, and it had probably been a footnote itself, some kind of editorial comment that had been placed now and transcribed into the actual text. So that's why you don't see a verse 37 here in the ESV. If you have more questions about that, we can talk about that more later. But suffice it to say, it's not in the best and oldest manuscripts, and therefore it is not included here in the ESV. I believe it's also the same in the NIV as well. But there is a footnote that talks about this textual variance. Okay, so moving on from that now, back to rejoicing in salvation. There's great joy in the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, when we are led by God's Spirit, when we're living a life that is being led by the Spirit, there will be people who come to know Jesus Christ through your life. Now, you may not be the one who leads them directly to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but you will play a part. Now, some people, they talk about, oh, look, I led this many people to Christ. I baptized this many people. No, I don't want to hear that. That's not what it's about. You didn't do anything in the sense that God is the one who worked through you through the power of the Holy Spirit. But there will be lives changed around you if you are a believer of Jesus Christ and you're living a life that is led by the Spirit. So God gives Philip this opportunity to share Jesus Christ, share the gospel that connects it so that now the eunuch is like, oh my goodness. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about Jesus who was crucified, dead, and buried, and he rose again on the third day. I understand what it means that I'll have an everlasting name. I understand what it means to have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. See, this eternal hope that comes through Jesus Christ alone. So he hears this good news of Jesus Christ and his life is changed forever. And so we see his excitement in this new faith. He's rejoicing. He's so happy. And now he wants to be baptized. So he stops his chariot and he's baptized in the water. He's saying, what can keep me from being baptized? What prevents me from being baptized right now? It's new life in Christ. New life in Christ. Now, I want to make a quick comment here about baptism. Okay. Water baptism is not necessary for salvation. Did you guys hear that? Water baptism is not necessary for salvation. But those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have been renewed as a new creation in their lives, in their hearts, they are saved, then God does want for you to be baptized. Jesus himself modeled that for us as he was baptized. So this is not a baptism issue that's being shared. It's saying his joy was so great, he knew the next thing he needed to be baptized. Find some water. I want to be baptized because my life is brand new. I want to go under the water. That's the old me, and I come out, and that's the new me. I'm a new creation in Christ. But what had already happened in his heart was now being shown through his baptism. Rejoicing in that salvation. Now, this is what the kind of, I always try to find a little humor. I don't try to find, I find humor in some things. But what happens next is kind of an interesting thing. So he's baptized, right? Philip baptizes him. And it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. Now, I know it kind of just says it like it's not a big deal, but this is like a miracle thing that's happened. Like now being led by the Spirit, but now he's actually like taken by the Spirit away from the presence of the eunuch. But what does he do, the eunuch? It doesn't say he stopped and he was shocked and he looked around and figured out what just happened. It says that he went on his way rejoicing. He was so joyful in the Lord. This doesn't even faze him. He knows that this is possible with God. He's experienced the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. He just goes on his way rejoicing, filled with this joy, knowing that Jesus Christ is now his Lord and Savior. When's the last time that you rejoiced in your salvation? Did you guys hear that? When was the last time that you rejoiced in your salvation? The reality that you, somehow by God's grace, came to know him, have a relationship with him through Christ as your Lord and Savior. When is the last time that you rejoiced in your salvation? God, thank you so much. I can't believe I have this new life in you. I can't believe I get to live my life with a greater purpose. Imagine this eunuch. I may not have children, but I'm going to share the word of God with everyone that I know. I'm going to share the message of Jesus. And there's going to be so many more people who come to know Christ. Imagine this eunuch. What does it mean that my name, that lasts forever? I bear the name of Christ. I glorify him with my life. When's the last time you found joy in that, rejoiced in that? I hope that we'll have joyful moments every day remembering the salvation that Christ has given to us. There's nothing more joyful than knowing the eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Start out each morning. When you wake up, just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my salvation. Start the day out. Wake up. I'm not saying you have to do your quiet time or your devotional when you wake up. That, choose to do whenever you can. Schedule it in wherever it fits best in your work day, in your weekend. Be in the Word. Pray. What I'm saying is start each day and just practice the joy of the Lord. Practice keeping your mind and your heart set on the joy that is in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So that the rest of your day, whatever may happen, you can go on rejoicing. He will direct your steps. Be led by the Spirit. Now it concludes with this in verse 40, right, where it said, but Philip found himself, so he's carried away by the Spirit of the Lord. He finds himself in yet another location. And it says, and as he passed through, what does he do? He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. You see, the preaching never stops. His life that is being led by the Spirit, it just pours out of him this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that what your life looks like? Are you pouring out in the joy, in the studying of Scripture, in the listening to His voice? Are you pouring out the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you preaching who He is in the decisions that you make and the words that you speak and how you treat your husband and how you treat your wife and how you treat your children and how you treat your parents? Let's live for Him. Let's be led by the Spirit. Amen. We depend on Him, and He gives us the strength. So yes, let's listen for God's voice. Let's study His voice in the Scriptures. If there's anything that tries to lead you, if there's anything that tries to take you this way or that way, no matter how sweet or how good it sounds, if you go to the Word of God and you study God's voice, and God's voice says, no, stay away from that. It's not good for you. Listen to the Word of God. And then as you live your life in obedience to Him, just be ready to rejoice at all the lives that are going to be changed, yourself included. You'll grow in your faith, and many people will be strengthened in their faith by you being led by the Spirit. Let's pray together. Just take one moment to respond in prayer before we close together. Are you living a life that is being led by the Spirit? Are you leading? Are you trying to take the lead? There's no better way to live life than to be led by the Spirit. Will you take a moment right now and just humble? Let's humble ourselves. Say, God, I want to live a life that's being led by the Spirit. I want to learn to obey. Simple obedience, even in the small things. I want to learn to obey your voice. I want to study your voice. God, I haven't read the Bible in a month. I haven't read the Bible in the last few months. I haven't read the Bible in this whole past year on my own, in my own study. God, I want to do that this year. Help me to be in your word more. Humble yourself and ask of him to lead you in His Spirit. I want to see us rejoicing in the Lord. He wants you to know the joy of His salvation. He wants you to remember that each and every day. And He wants you to also know the joy of seeing someone whole eternity change. Someone who was lost in darkness, someone who did not know Jesus, all of a sudden when they know Jesus and they believe in Him, oh my goodness, what joy to know that someone is saved. Don't give up on God. His power, His love, His grace is real. So humble yourself right now. God, I want to be led by the Spirit. Lead me in Your word. Remind me of the joy of my salvation. Just take one more minute to pray that, and then I'll close us. Dear Heavenly Father, You are indeed the Lord of our lives. For those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, we have been changed. We have been given a new purpose, a great purpose, to glorify You, to live for You. God, help us to live a life that is being led by the Holy Spirit. Help us to obey Your voice, even in the simple things, even in the small things, even in the times when no one is watching, when no one is looking. Help us to obey You. May we not be led by any other thing, not purely emotion, not purely, you know, just being practical, but all the things in how You've wired us to be, that we would surrender those things to the Spirit in our relationship with You. And God, may the Word, may the Bible be our foundation. May we look to it. May we test everything according to what You have for us, what You prescribe for us in Your Word, so that we can be led by the Spirit, that we would not be led astray from Your word and from who You are. And God, we pray for the joy of salvation to be an ever-present part of our daily living. Thank You, God, that You have made that possible through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us and be with our church. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us rise and sing our closing song.